Welcome to the podcast that is all about self-employment. We'll be sharing expertise on getting started, getting noticed, and getting it right, as well as dealing with getting it wrong. Your host, Julia Kermode, will help you get ahead so you get the success you deserve.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm delighted to have with me Caroline Johnson. She is the owner of Cheerleader PR, and today we're talking about going freelance and working for yourself despite being shy and introverted. So really warm welcome, Caroline. Anything to add to the intro? Although I think we're going to talk a bit about your background anyway.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here. I mean, I think the intro was perfect because, as you've rightly said, I have been an introvert working in an extrovert's world in PR for, well, over 20 years now. So, yes, I'm happy to have a chat with you about that and about my journey of becoming self-employed, which was about 7 years ago now.
Wow. Okay. Fantastic. So yeah, this whole subject is really interesting, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will sort of empathise with it. So talk to us a bit about your career before you went freelance and being an introvert in an extrovert world.
Yeah, sure. So I've worked in PR for over 20 years, and before I went freelance, which was 7 years ago, I was employed in-house in the National Media Museum in Bradford as their senior press officer. Before that, I worked in a really big PR agency in Leeds as a PR consultant. And before that, I was a what was called an account executive, which is kind of entry level into PR at a small agency, really local to actually where I went to university. So I suppose before I even went freelance or self-employed, I'd worked in this environment which was traditionally sort of people thought of, you know, absolutely fabulous, the comedy series and about PR darling and, you know, champagne and all of this sort of thing. But I mean, that wasn't why I went into it. I mean, I went into PR because I loved writing and storytelling. I loved photography, and I was really interested in business. I mean, I did a business studies degree, and it just kind of brought all those things together. But
yeah. And it's really competitive, isn't it, PR? Or at least that's my perception of it. So how did you even get into it, if that's not a rude question? Because if you're kind of naturally introverted, then I could see the perception, certainly my perception would be, it's not an obvious fit.
I didn't want to go into PR. That wasn't my sort of, I didn't know what PR was when I applied to university. So I went and did business studies, just because I thought, oh, well, it's quite practical. I liked business studies anyway. And I thought, well, I'll be able to get a job at the end of it. And that was kind of my thinking of going into it.
Yes.
So when I was doing my degree, there was a year where you went and worked in industry. And I wanted to go into HR, into human resources. That was my idea. That was what I wanted to do. So I got this placement at BT, which was an amazing opportunity. And I moved down to Hemel Hempstead and worked in BT for a year. And my job was in HR, but it was kind of like a high-level HR, which was all about quality and celebrating their people. So it was really, really lovely, actually, really lovely. It's like recognition, reward, that sort of stuff. But then when I'd been there for, maybe I was about halfway through, it was announced on the news that 2,000 managers from BT were going to be made redundant. And that was the first that the employees heard about it. So, I mean, irrelevant to me, I didn't know anything about how you made announcements and sort of crisis management and stuff like that at the time. But I remember thinking, I mean, our department wasn't involved in like consultations or any of that stuff. But I just remember thinking, I don't want to work in a department that has to do that. That isn't what I want to do.
Yeah.
So that was kind of quite, you know, that was changed the course of things for me, because I was then a bit like, well, what do I want to do? And part of my degree was was that we were writing up, or we did the quality awards, which was like the top 0.5% of BT people got these awards. And we worked with a journalist to write up their entries. And I was like liaising between the finalists and this journalist. And I think I just sort of got quite interested in stories and what we were doing. And BT had its own in-house newspaper called BT Today. And I just said to my manager, could I go and work there for a week and just try that out? And really from there, that's where it went, really. And I mean, I finished my placement and went back to university. It's like, well, I want to go into PR, because I thought, oh, it adds up all the things I want to do. But I didn't want the deadlines and the pressure of a journalist. But I thought, well, this was a good way to do it in a different way. But I mean, it's funny you should say, how did you get into it? It's very competitive, because I went to the careers office at the university and said, oh, I want to go into PR. And they were like, well, everyone wants to do that. It's very competitive, you know. And that was their reaction to me. And I was like, oh, thanks.
So they were just very dismissive.
Very dismissive. And there was a PR degree at the university I went to, and I wasn't on it, you know. So, but I remember thinking, right, well, I'm going to do it now for definite. You know, I've got a bit of a...
Love it.
Yeah, a bit of a... You know, if you tell me I can't do it, then I'll find out a way to do it. So that was kind of where it went. And then I just applied. I mean, I applied for all sorts of different jobs and I finished, but predominantly PR. And I just, a small agency liked my CV, liked what I'd done at BT, and just gave me my shot. And that was how I got my foot in the door.
I sort of feel a bit bad for you when you went to the careers office and they were so dismissive. And I think that could have gone one of two ways. It could have really knocked you and set you back, you know, quite significantly. But I'm so pleased you took the more rebellious route and you're like, right, I'm going to prove them wrong.
It was, yeah. I think because I knew it was what I wanted to do. And I was a bit like, well, who are you to tell me I can't? But equally, yeah, you know, you look back, you're right, it's a bit of a sliding doors moment, because it could have been me going, all right, well, I won't bother then. But luckily for me, you know, I carried on and you know, as I say, I've worked in PR for my whole career, and, you know, I'm happy to still do that. I want to carry on. So I think, I guess if you know something's right, then you pursue it. But like you say, it's probably not the natural choice for, someone who's been shy and would probably class myself more as an introvert than extrovert, because it is, you're putting yourself out there every day, but you're doing it for clients. I suppose it's not personal, but it is, it is an interesting one.
Well, maybe the issue is with the rest of the world and our perceptions, and you know, maybe we're kind of wrong to make those judgments about it. But you're quite right. I mean, I grew up watching Absolutely Fabulous and all of that, and it does give a very different perspective of the world of PR. So you obviously had a successful time in your career. What made you want to go it alone and set up your own business to work for yourself?
Well, I think this is really where fate intervened, actually. So I was working at the National Media Museum in Bradford, and I was a senior press officer there. And it was kind of like, when I got that job, it was sort of my dream job, because I love photography. And the National Media Museum was, before that, was the Museum of Film, Photography, Film and Television. So it was just a lovely role. And so I was in that job, and I'd been in it for 5 years. I'd had my first daughter and then gone back. And basically I was pregnant with my second daughter. I was probably about maybe 5 or 6 months pregnant. I was already planning for my second maternity leave. And I got this email saying that there was going to be a change. And I was invited to a meeting with HR and my manager at the time. And I just kind of knew, we'd already been through one round of redundancies. And I was the only person in my team that got this email the second time. So I kind of knew.
No.
And so, I mean, actually, at first I was really upset, because I thought I wasn't going to receive any maternity money and pay, which was like a real panic moment. But then I found out that I would. And so I could have either applied for a more senior role, which would have meant being, I was doing like the hours of, I think I was doing 4 days a week at that point, but I would have had to do 5 days a week as a communications manager. And I just didn't really want to do that. I wasn't guaranteed to get that job. I would have had to have gone through a recruitment process. So anyway, I took voluntary redundancy and went off and had my second daughter. And then when I was pregnant, when I knew I was being made redundant, I had some chats with HR, and they were sort of, you know, doing those sort of like, you know, how can we help you to think what you want to do next? So I'd thought freelancing would be great. And I spoke to a fellow freelancer who I'd worked with in the agency, and she was really, really supportive. She was like, oh, you can definitely do it. And I was like, well, I don't want to do it full time. I want to do it 3 days. She's like, you can do it 3 days. And she was so brilliant at like anything I said, why I couldn't do it. She was like, no, you can definitely do it. It's fine. So I went off and had my second daughter, and then time passed and I was off with her. And then when she was about 11 months old, I heard from the same friend who was the freelancer, who said, oh, I'm actually giving up a couple of pieces of work. Would you be interested in me putting your name forward?
Wow.
But my first reaction was no. I said, I was like, oh no, because I'd lost my confidence. You know, I'd been through the mill with the redundancy. I'd kind of gone off what I was doing, but actually it was because I'd gone off where I worked rather than what I was doing. But I didn't know that at the time. And I was a bit like, oh no, I don't think I do. I'm not sure. I just didn't want to, I was just scared really. So in the end, I kind of thought, well, you've got nothing to lose here. You've got no job. You're going to have to find a job soon anyway. So I kind of said, oh, you know, well, how much does it pay and what does it involve? And then I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to go for it. So I actually got those two pieces of work, and then off I went from there. And actually, I sort of purely freelance. I did people's PR for them for about 5 years. And I was always fully booked. You know, I really was always busy because, you know, I think the thing with freelancing and self-employment is there's always work for good people. You know, if you've got a good network of contacts from your career and you tell people what you're doing, then, you know, and when they hear of work, which they will do, they'll think of you. So that was how my freelance career started, was from, and all of my freelancing predominantly, I would say, came through my contacts that I made in my agency job before I went to the museum, because it was such a strong network of people.
Fantastic. Well, that's brilliant. So, I mean, I'm expecting we've probably got some listeners who are looking at the possibility of working for themselves for the first time. And I think, unfortunately, a number of those people will have probably lost their jobs through redundancy and probably be in that almost exact same position that you were in.
That reaction, you don't doubt the reaction, is really hard, you know, because you feel like you've been rejected. You do feel like it's personal, whether, you know, I know it's about numbers and all the rest, but it feels very personal. So I think, you know, give yourself a chance to kind of build yourself back up, you know, look at what you actually enjoy about what you do. I mean, that's the thing. Like I said before, I realized I did like what I did. I just didn't like where I was doing it. And so I very nearly could have given it all up because of other people rather than sticking to what I wanted to do. So I think, you know, don't, you know, be kind to yourself is what I would say. And you know, however the redundancy plays out, it's you know, it's, you know, like I had consultation meetings and, you know, you have all that all questioning yourself. And so, you know, you've just got to go through that process and then have a bit of time to think, what do I actually want to do next? And if it is freelancing, then, you know, there's loads of steps you can take to kind of make that happen.
You know, working for yourself, you're in control of your own destiny, and that you know, you've actually in some senses got a bit more say over what you do, and well, a lot more say probably over what you do and how you do it. So it sounds like those sorts of things outweigh the worries about, you know, potentially not being as stable as employment. Was that your experience?
Yeah, I think that was the thing that as I say, you feel like when you're employed and you are a part of a bigger thing, you know, a bigger business, and you're potentially in a team, and, you know, you've got all those kind of cushions around you. You know, you might get health benefits or, you know, whatever sort of perks you might get with the job. But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when they decide your role is redundant, then, you know, those things all go. And depending on what notice period you're on, it could be 4 weeks and then you're not employed anymore. So I think that's the thing of being your own boss, although it's on you either way, you know, whether it goes well or not. But actually, it's in your own hands, so it's a bit like it's up to you. And it's a bit like that sort of sink or swim moment of all the thing, like I said to you before, when the careers office said, well, everyone wants to do PR, it's very competitive. It's a bit like, well, you know, I'll show you, whoever that is. And, you know, maybe in my case with what happened to me, I was a bit sort of giving myself another chance, you know, in the career that I'd chosen, and kind of going, right, well, I'll give it another go. And I didn't put any pressure on myself. I was very kind of like, well, I'll just give it a go. And I worked out how much I needed to earn to make it viable. And sort of thought about that. And just, as I say, just kind of put myself out there by initially really just on LinkedIn. I mean, I didn't have a website for 5 years. I was fully booked without that. I always meant to have one, but I was always busy with clients. So I was a bit like, well, you know, it's fine. I'll just not have one. And LinkedIn was my best friend, you know, actually for finding work. I mean, I had inquiries just of people who'd, you know, must have Googled freelance PR in Leeds. And I got work that way as well as through my network. Yeah. So I think it just puts it in your own hands and just gives you a chance to make it what you want it to be. And the only thing I would say, I think, is do give it some thought what you want it to be, because, you know, you're going to set it up, and it's harder to change it once you've set it up than set it up, you know. But equally, over time, I think you realise more what you want it to be. And that's why I've then gone to kind of set up an actual business with a different name to my own. I mean, I was just Caroline Joints and PR. That was just what I was. That was my business name. That was fairly straightforward. But I set up Cheerleader PR 18 months ago because I wanted to do something slightly different, which was offer sort of PR coaching rather than doing people's PR for them purely. And so, but that was a natural evolution. And I think you need that time to work it through. And actually, when you've been through redundancy, you need time to recover because it is stressful, you know, and it does take it out of you. And so I think it's a combination of things. It's kind of get started, but think what you want it to be and be kind to yourself after the redundancy, but also accept that whatever you set up with when you first go it alone might not be what you then, you know, it might change and evolve as you do, because you're going to suddenly get your own, you know, become in charge of your own life more than you ever were before, you know.
Yes.
So it's so
empowering, isn't it? That change and you know the freedom to do what you want. And it might be that, oh, I don't know, you don't want to do PR for certain sectors because you just don't feel as happy in those sectors, or you know, whatever. I mean, you know, there'll be people listening who are doing all sorts of things, not kind of just PR. But one thing just struck me as you were talking then is obviously going freelance will also involves a reasonable amount of kind of working by yourself, I guess. So you have your clients that you work for, but actually in terms of doing the actual work, you're working for yourself. And I guess that also gives you the confidence, because you know that, I think you said before, the buck sort of stops with you. Either, you know, it's successful or it's not, but whichever, it's kind of your responsibility. And I guess that probably helped with the confidence side of things.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes in two ways, because yes, you get to do all the work for, you know, when you first start out, especially if it's just you as a freelancer, which it was with me, then you do all of the work. So I'd gone from, I mean, we did work on projects where, when I was employed. So you did kind of see it through and do, but you had colleagues, you know, you had people, can you do this bit for me? Or can you just help me with that? So I think that built my confidence up in, again, in what I could do, because I was doing the whole process and getting the results for the clients and knowing that it was just me that had got it and thinking, well, I knew I could do it. Why did I let them think, make me think that I couldn't? So I think that really built me up and built my confidence back up after the redundancy. I mean, I think you do kind of, when you're used to being in a team, to suddenly be on your own and making all the decisions and doing all the work on your own is different. And I mean, I think for me, having been on maternity leave, well, twice by that point, but particularly the first time when I'd gone from being in a team to being on my own with a baby that I didn't know what to do with, it was all new. You know, actually, that probably helped me because I was used to being on my own and trying to work something out. So I think it is a bit of a culture shock to be on your own and not have that, oh, what do you think of this? Or, oh, this has just happened. You know, have the colleagues to have those conversations with, but I'd had that before. But then I think there's things you can do around that. I mean, now it's so much better. You know, there's like networking groups locally or online. You know, I mean, I actually, once my youngest daughter started school, I was at home 5 days a week. Whereas initially I always did 3 days, and that was really nice. I liked doing 3 days because I had her with me Mondays and Fridays, and then I worked the other three, and it was a bit of peace and calm in the house. But when she started school, I didn't like being on my own in the house 5 days a week. I found that quite, you know, no one should probably spend that much time on their own, you know, in a way. And so much as I would say I am an introvert, I'm not not to the point where I don't buzz off other people, really. And you know, obviously I'm on the phone, I'm on Zoom, I wasn't on my own completely, but I actually started going co-working when my youngest went to school, because I just found like I was in the house too much. So that gave me that company. And, you know, they're all doing different jobs to me, they weren't, you know, doing the same sort of work as me, but someone just to say, oh, do you want a cup of tea, or, you know, how are you this morning? It just, I think as human beings we need that. So I found the first lockdown hard, because although my family were in the house, you know, I couldn't come and have that sort of other business people company that I'd got used to. So I think it's finding ways that work for you. And if you're used to being a team, especially actually if you are an extrovert particularly, then think about ways you can interact with people, you know. And that could be, I mean, I've got other friends that are freelance PRs, so we'd have a little group and have a little group chat and stuff like that. I think there are ways around it, but it is different at first.
Slight change of subject. What's one of your proudest moments since setting up your business? Because it sounds like you've had two slightly different businesses, but both within your kind of PR, which is your kind of chosen profession. But you know, what tell us about one or two proudest moments since setting up your own business, because then I bet there's loads, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think, do you know what? It's funny you should say that, because I think that that's something that is harder to do on your own, sort of celebrate sort of the success, because you don't have a team and you don't have a manager to say, oh, well done, you know, so that sort of falls to you. But equally, you know, as I say, you can sort of be in groups or memberships and, you know, and have that community around you and obviously your friends as well. But I mean, I think one of the highlights for me was definitely, and, you know, that's what's led to us talking today, was I did like a media bio masterclass last summer, which was aimed at helping people in my Facebook community to actually write their own media bio. And the media bio is what you would use to pitch for PR opportunities, whether that's media opportunities or podcasts or Facebook groups, whatever it is. And it was about the sharing your story and how you got to be doing what you do now. So for that purpose, I wrote my media bio, which, you know, although I sort of had different strands from it, like the redundancy is obviously one of the strands of my story that led me to where I am now, but, you know, other things as well. And actually, it was putting that all together into that my own media bio was really felt something. And then actually sharing it and doing this masterclass, and the feedback that I got from the masterclass was just amazing. I, you know, it blew me away, really, because I never get that one, that sort of, you know, immediate feedback, because normally, you know, everyone just like, oh, she's good, you know, let her carry on kind of thing. So that was really good. And off the back of that, I then worked with, you know, I think it was about 12 other entrepreneurs who wanted to then take the media bio to the next step. But I think most of them had identified with me because I'd shared my story, you know, much like you have with having me on the podcast. You know, it allowed me to sort of show that even though I believe your story is so powerful, I actually shared mine a lot more than I ever had done before. So that was definitely a highlight of since I've set up Cheerleader PR 18 months ago, because it was like me finally sort of putting myself out there, you know, and talking about my story. I mean, I think...
I did that media bio masterclass, not live when you did it live, but I watched it back, and it is so true. And you know, we're not really intending to spend today talking about PR skills, but one of the things that really hit home was the power of your story, and not just you individually, but that was what grabbed me. But the power of anybody's story is actually what really helps when you want to kind of get out there and get known for what you do. You're absolutely right. You should be really proud of that, because it came across really well. And I remember going through the recording, and you can see other people's Facebook comments, and they were all going, oh my God, I can't believe you were ever shy, and all of this stuff. So you know, it just shows how far you've come, you know, from that person that, well, we didn't know you then, but from that person that you felt you were. So it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a big moment for me, really. And I think, you know, you can sort of see as I go along, you know, I just felt like, you know, sometimes if someone says, I'll think back to a time when you were really, felt really confident and really, you know, proud. That's the one that comes to mind, because I was live, you know, like I am now talking into my laptop, but it was like amazing things were happening. So that's definitely been a highlight.
That's fantastic. And it just shows that, you know, you started off your business doing something, and you've evolved over time as kind of your interests have got, you know, developed with the business. So it's really fascinating. And to actually put yourself out there is tough, especially when you're used to putting other people out there. So it's really, really brave. And have you got any top tips for our listeners who are on the verge of putting themselves out there and they're just kind of almost there, but not quite? What can help get them over that final hurdle? Because probably that final hurdle is their mindset as opposed to reality, is it?
I think so. I think there's probably a bit of both. It depends if you've been put in that redundancy situation or whether you're deciding whether to take the leap yourself. And as I say, I have to say, if I hadn't have been made redundant, I don't know that I would have gone into self-employment, you know, and I would have missed out on so much. But I think it is about thinking what you want your life to be. And I think if it is a redundancy situation, the first thing is just to get yourself through and just to keep going and kind of just to work that out. Give yourself some time and work it out. I mean, I think if you're you are employed and you're thinking about kind of taking that leap, then you've probably got a bit more sort of chance to think about what you want that to look like. And then it's up to you when you make the leap. Whereas for the person who's been made redundant, you're kind of being forced to make it. So, but with both, it's about thinking what you want your life to be and then what business can give you that lifestyle and that, you know, fulfill your dreams and like kind of be in line with your values of what you want to do. So I think, you know, there can be a fair amount of work to go through. And I think, you know, if you need to talk to somebody about that and work through that process, then actually, I have HR who were able to help me with that in the place where I work. So, you know, they did help me actually, and the union helped me. So I think find some people that can help you, whether that's people who've been through it before, people who advise people on it, and just get that advice really and work through that process if you want what you want it to be. And then when you then decide what you want it to be, and if it is setting up your own business and going for it, then actually once you get into the kind of, you know, here's how to register with HMRC, here's how to get a website or set up an email, those kind of things are kind of easy in comparison, because it's thinking behind it that I think takes the time, but that's what's going to make the difference. So and just go with the flow really, because as I say, I'd kind of done that, then I'd kind of had 11 months out, and then it kind of came back to me as an opportunity. So I think just kind of allow yourself a bit to ride it, because it is a difficult time. But everyone I know who's been made redundant, and you know, I do know quite a few actually, have always said it's the best thing that ever happened to them, but it just felt difficult at the time.
And I think I certainly know some people who've been made redundant, and they've struggled with it, and they've been kind to themselves and whatever. But I think ultimately, at the end of it, they will probably see opportunities that they wouldn't have seen otherwise if they were working. And you're quite right. I think it is about going with the flow. If you see an opportunity, just maybe give it a try. It's not the end of the world if it doesn't work out. You know, like you said with when you first started the freelance stuff, you know, you could have, if it didn't work out, you could have gone back to finding a job if you'd wanted to. So,
and I think my other thing would be just think about who you already know in your network. You know, make sure you've connected with everyone you've worked with on LinkedIn, and then when you're ready to kind of tell the world, you can contact people individually. Just tell them, I'm thinking of doing this. Could I pick your brains, or have you got any advice? You know, use your network in a positive way, because people love to help other people. Especially, you know, when the friends they know or colleagues they know are going through a tough time, that they'll always help you. And then when you then decide to launch whatever it is you're going to launch, they become your champions and they will help you. So I think your network is just worth so much. That's where to kind of put your effort into making the most of that. I would say that's what made the difference for me, just having all those fantastic former colleagues who just cheered me on, really, you know. Definitely.
And people want you to be successful. Nobody wants to see anybody fail, especially not at the moment where we know everyone's got their difficulties. So I think be confident in that, you know. Your story just really shows that kind of going for it and doing a couple of different things has really worked out well for you. So I'm so pleased that you came on to share your experience. And maybe we should get you on talking about PR skills at some point, which is actually your profession.
Anytime, you're very welcome. But do you know what? Just reminded me of something when you said that I think since I took those two clients on when I first went freelance, since then I've just had the mindset of, if someone gives me an opportunity or offers me an opportunity, I generally say yes and then work out how to do it afterwards. Because, you know, when I was poorly after I'd had my second daughter, I'd had postnatal depression, I was really unwell. I think coming back from that and coming back from being made redundant, it does give you a bit of some extra sort of fight in you, I think, to make you think, well, you know, actually, why not? What have I got to lose? You know, and I might as well give it a go. And well, I'll say yes and work it out. And if someone ever says to me, do you want to speak on this, or do you want to present at an event? I'll just say yes, and then I'll work it out. Because compared to what I've gone through, I mean, I can still see myself that moment of opening that email that said you had been invited to this meeting and knowing exactly what it was and just kind of breaking down.
You must have felt sick.
I mean, I can feel the feelings now, and just thinking, well, if I can come back from that, which everybody can, you know, well, who's to tell me I can't do anything? I can do anything. So I'll just go for it, and whatever happens will happen. So I think that will probably be my kind of conclusion on that. It just reminded me, that's definitely how I approach stuff now. It's just like, well, I'll just give it a go and see what happens.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Give it a go. But also, you've got that history behind you now. So you've seen what you can do when you feel like you can't do stuff. But you've seen that actually, yes, you can. And I think that evidence you can't argue with. So next time you feel like, oh, you know, you've sound like you've changed so much that you will always say yes. But if one day you thought, oh, perhaps not, then you would have to look back and go, well, actually, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I've got the track record now. So
I think that the more you kind of go for it and say yes to things, you sort of, the more come your way. So it's just getting yourself kind of, you know, working through that process. It didn't happen overnight, but just every so often you have a reminder of how far you've come, and I think that's what gives you the sort of the strength to keep going for it, really.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. I've absolutely loved having you on, and yeah, I wish you every continued success. I will be cheerleading for you as well.
Brilliant, I love it. Thank you very much. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to All About Self-Employment, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.